tell you like Elizabeth Taylor told her sixth husband, I won't keep you long. But anyway. All right. If you would, turn in your Bible to Acts chapter 7. Doing a little study, and you guys, I told Aaron the other day, I was, because I'm going to be teaching and I'm developing my own syllabus for my pastoral epistles class for the college, you guys are going to get probably a lot of messages from 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. And because that's what I'm studying a lot of, and this is an overflow from that, but I've entitled this message, What Stephen Taught Paul. What Stephen Taught Paul. A lot of people don't realize, but the Apostle Paul was, the first time you hear his name, you read his name in the Bible, is right there when Stephen is being stoned. And the Apostle Paul is the one that is holding the coats, watching the clothes of those that are stoning Stephen. And it's almost like the Apostle Paul, if you study out the life of Paul after this, because in not in chapter 8, but in chapter 9, the Apostle Paul has letters to go to Damascus to lock up and bring back, arrest all the people that are praising Jesus and that are trusting in Christ and bring them back to Jerusalem in chains to punish them and for them to stand trial. So it's almost like that the Apostle Paul here, this is the beginning of his viciousness toward Christianity and the Christians. But the issue is, and I want, let's stand in honor of the Word of God. I want to read just a few verses, starting with verse 54. Chapter 7 is an amazing chapter. It's a great message that Stephen preaches. By the way, the first time you see Stephen's name is in the previous chapter, chapter 6. He is called to be a deacon. I like that, because he's a preaching deacon. Amen. And by the way, I was ordained as a deacon before I was ordained as a preacher. So I kind of have a little bit of kindred spirit with Stephen. Now whether I die for the faith or not, I don't know. It could be. But anyway, I like him. Look at verse 54 and let's follow from there. And it says, when they heard these things. Now I want you to remember, Stephen, look at verse 51 first. And this is what Stephen's telling the people that he's preaching to. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do ye. So I kind of hear a little bit of Jesus and John the Baptist in Stephen's preaching. He's not one of those tickle ear type preachers. And look at what it says in 54. And it says, when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. I want you to get this. They were biting him. There's no other way for you to cut that than the fact that they just got upset, so bad upset, that they started biting him, gnashing on him with their teeth. And he said, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the Lord, the glory of God, and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord and cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to see somebody that has found something worth dying for. Lord, I thank you for Stephen and the example he is. He's the first Christian martyr, but there have been so many multitudes since. Lord, we ask you to move in a special way. Let your Holy Spirit preach to us tonight. For it's in that holy name, that mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, you can be seated. A couple things I want to bring out here is the fact that there are three things, and I'm going to give you an outline. But number one, it was Stephen's message. First thing that we know that Paul was influenced by was Stephen's message. Stephen's message was very, very thorough. If you read it, it starts at the beginning with Abraham being called by God, all the way to the cross, all the way to Jesus. And it gives the entire history of Israel. Now, I love the fact that Stephen was a preacher and he was a thorough preacher and he knew what he was talking about, but I want you to understand something. Well, let's go back chapter 6. I want to show you what it says. Look at verse 3. And if you know this story, they're looking for deacons. They're looking for people to take responsibility of serving the people the food so that the preachers don't have to do it. By the way, that's what... I'm gonna get run a rabbit here and know. But anyway, in a lot of churches, deacons are the problem. Okay? And that's one of the reasons why we have no deacons. Because I don't want any problems. Amen? And I was a deacon, but I was fighting for the pastor. I was like a three-winged bird. I understood pastoral authority in the Southern Baptist Church, but nobody else did except the pastor. But anyway, deacons here, this is what they're called for. And I swore up and down long before I went into ministry that if I was to ever ordain a deacon, I'd give him two things: a King James Bible and an apron to help him remember what a deacon is supposed to do. A deacon is not supposed to run the pastor. They try to run this pastor, they're going to get run off. But the truth is, deacon is supposed to help the pastor with the work, take the load off of the pastor. But look at what it says in verse 3. And they're looking for, and said, this is what the apostle said. And it said, "Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word." And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen. He was the first one they thought of. First one listed. Now, I'm not going to go through the other names. I like the guy named Philip, too. He was became known as the Philip the Evangelist. Started out as a deacon and became evangelist. Amen. All right, but I want you to see this in the fact that Stephen, his message was spirit-filled, because he was spirit-filled. That's the way it needs to be. I'm no good. I want you to understand, hey, there's nothing good in me but Jesus. Paul said, and I agree with it, I'll say amen. In my flesh dwelleth no good thing. And so what we need to realize is Stephen was preaching, and that message he preached in Acts chapter 7 was spirit-filled. It was a spirit-filled message. That message was what the first thing that influenced Paul. But then the second thing that influenced Paul was the fact that it was Stephen's murder. Wasn't just the fact that Stephen's message, but it was his murder. They killed him. Paul, it doesn't say anywhere in Scripture where Paul threw any of the stones. But I believe he was standing there watching the coats and cheering the crowd on. And he was just as complicit as anybody that threw stones, as far as I'm concerned, and probably as far as the Lord's concerned. And I want you to get this in the fact that he watched Stephen's murder, but he didn't see what he thought he might see. A man that was afraid. A man that was scared. A man that was saying, maybe, I was thinking about being, what I'd be like if I was, somebody was throwing stones at me, I'd pick them up and throw them back. I don't have time to tell this, but I'm going to tell it anyway. Me and some of the guys that, in junior high, we were walking down the street, and some of the kids, it was after school, and we were going by the orange grove by Crystal Lake Junior High School, and all of a sudden we're seeing green oranges coming over from the orange grove, and they're throwing oranges at us. Well, I just picked up some and started throwing them back. But I couldn't see anybody. So I just took one of those oranges and just lobbed it real high just to see right about where I thought they might be. Wasn't long and I saw one of my friends coming around one of the orange trees and his glasses were busted. He said he reached up to get an orange and picked it and turned and looked, pow! What that has to do with Stephen stoning, I don't know. But anyway, but the truth is, I'd be tempted to throw the stones back, but Paul did not see that in Stephen. He saw something different in Stephen. But I don't think it was just the murder. I don't think it was just the message. I don't think it was just the murder. But I think this third thing was the reason Stephen made an impress. It was impressing on Paul from the time this event took place through the life of Paul. And I believe once he got to heaven, Paul had to look up Stephen. But it wasn't the message. It wasn't his murder. It was his memory. I want you to think about what pushed the Apostle Paul. See, Paul saw in Stephen some different things than he'd ever seen before. He saw somebody that was willing to die. He saw somebody that wasn't afraid to die. But I want you to get this, and I'm going to give you four things right quick. He saw in Stephen something worth dying for. And I've heard preachers say that you really haven't begun to live unless you found something worth dying for. And that's what we need to realize. Hey, we found something worth dying for. We have a book. We have a heritage as Christians that many, many, many have died for so that you and I could find out the truth and have God's book. We owe a lot of people. Not only did he see something in Stephen that Stephen was willing to die for, but he saw in Stephen someone worth dying for. And that was Jesus. See, Stephen, all the time they're throwing the stones, all the time they're biting him, what's going on? He's looking up, and he doesn't see Jesus seated at the right hand of the Father. He's standing. Is that what the Lord does for martyrs? Well, here's the only example we have in Scripture of the Lord's appearance at a martyr's death. But it very well could be. A lot of people in this world die for Jesus every day. And it's getting worse. One of the things that kept a lot of the people safe, a lot of Christians safe in the world, was the fact that they did not want to bring the wrath of the United States on them. And to me, that is one of the things that will go away if Joe Biden becomes president. Because it will weaken. Actually, we will be complicit in killing Christians, both in our country and around the world, rather than defending them. As a nation, that's what's going to happen. But I want to bring out one more thing. This, and I believe this one thing is probably the hardest thing that any of us ever do. But it's vital to do it. Look at what it says in verse 60. And it says, "And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, 'Lord, lay not this sin to their charge.'" I want you to realize that Stephen here is doing the very same thing the Lord Jesus did. He's forgiven his murderer. And I believe that's one of the things that got hold of the Apostle Paul, is he heard this man who was being murdered forgive his murderers. I want you to understand, one of the hardest things you'll ever do on this side is forgive. Forgiveness is one of those things that you cannot do without the Lord's help. And if you don't forgive, it will eat you alive. One of the things that bothers me about our country is the way I see people lying and cheating and stealing. But guess what? They're doing what lost people do. You know what the problem is? The churches haven't been doing what they're supposed to do. The Christians haven't been winning people and knocking doors and standing right. They're caught up in pleasures and all kinds of foolishness, just like the world. But Paul, one of the third thing that I want to point out is the fact that Paul learned how to forgive. Watching Stephen. If you don't believe me, go to 2 Timothy chapter 4. I want you to hold your place in Acts, because you're going to see a similar statement here. I was reading through this last portion of chapter 4, and I use this verse 14 quite a bit, because when people do harm to me or whatever, I pray like Paul did. He says, "Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his work." And that's biblical. You do reap what you sow. But look at verse 15 and 16. It says, "Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer no man withstood me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge." Paul prayed almost the exact same words Stephen prayed as he's watching Stephen die. It caught me off guard, because I saw that and I realized, yeah, I remember Stephen. Those are the words that Stephen said. And I'm thinking, Stephen forgave those that murdered him, which Paul was complicit to. Paul was just as guilty. And Paul said, I guess I'm going to have to forgive those that have done me harm too. I want to encourage you. The best way to forgive people that you harbor ill feelings towards, and I'm not saying they did you right. I'm not saying that they're gonna even forgive you or even stop doing harm to you. But our job as Christians is to forgive. I've heard the old saying to forgive is Christian, but to forget is divine, or something to that effect. We don't have the capability of forgetting. But what we need to do is to remember, when it comes up, just remember that it's forgiven. But the fourth thing, and I want to bring it up right quick, is the fact that the Apostle Paul, here in 2 Timothy chapter 4, this is the last few words that he's going to be writing. This is the last letter. This is where he says, I've run my race. I've finished my course. I've fought a good fight. Now, I want you to get this in the fact that because he saw Stephen, the Apostle Paul learned how to die too. We as Christians don't know what the future holds. Do you think you're going to die for the Lord? I might. I'm ready. I'm not going to give up on him. And if somebody shoots me or does something to me to kill me, or if I'm silly enough to take this vaccine, I might just die. Die a little early, but anyway. I'm not trying to be mean or anything, but I've seen too much of this stuff about the vaccine that I'm not going to take it. Okay? And there's too many, and I saw a video today, and I may just try to bring it, get it to where we can watch it here at church for a little bit. But doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor after doctor, 28 minutes of doctors saying, don't take the vaccine. It's not safe. They haven't done their research. There's a lot of bad things involved in it. It'll change your DNA and your RNA and all these things. It will. You don't know what it'll do to you. And guess what? You really can't trust them anyway. Who are you going to get the truth from anymore? God? The book. And that's the only place you can go. And so what I want us to understand is the Apostle Paul learned something from Stephen. And I think about it because the Apostle Paul, and I was talking to Sharon on the way to church, the Apostle Paul was what we consider the greatest Christian that we know. Greatest Christian in Scripture. But how much credit does Stephen get for that? I think quite a bit. I think quite a bit. Even though a lot of times we don't see it that way. But it was because of Stephen's willingness to die, and him dying for the cause of Christ, that it made an impression on the Apostle Paul, who wrote half of our New Testament. I'd hate to have a Bible without the book of Romans, without Philippians, without 1 and 2 Timothy, 1 and 2 Thessalonians, 1 and 2 Corinthians, all those books that the Apostle Paul wrote. Praise God that there was somebody like Stephen. Though his life, the Bible doesn't mention a whole lot about him. It's just a brief story, just a few chapters. Actually chapter 6 and 7. But boy, what an impact. Because he impacted the Apostle Paul. If he never impacted anybody else, he impacted Paul, and Paul impacted us. And how many Christians, how many people through history. Let's be that Stephen. No matter what's going on around us, let's be that Stephen and influence who we can. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and mercy. What a blessing it is to see what you do with one person. A brief life. It sounds like Stephen didn't live very long and chosen to be a deacon and ends up being a preacher and a martyr in a brief time. But Lord, we thank you for Stephen. We thank you for his influence on the Apostle Paul. And we thank you for the influence of the Apostle Paul on us through the Word of God. Lord, move in a special way in our midst. And Lord, use the invitation for your glory and our good. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand.